This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got great news for you here on this Monday. Normally, John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. But we got tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. And so we got a great program coming up for you tomorrow featuring our friends from Warriors in Quiet Waters. But we still want to get John Jackson on the radio this week. So thankfully, he's here kicking off the week for us. In fact, I was thinking, John, we should get you in here every Monday, because sometimes, especially like if we get another Cat Grizz game in a couple of weeks, you know, the Monday after another Cat Grizz game, especially if it's a semifinals game, I mean, I'm going to be in here on a Monday morning with like half an eye open. Hoping that, you know, Francis and Big Fork will call in and bail me out so we can get the show rolling and, get everybody pumped up. So, actually, it might be kind of fun having you in here on a Monday to get things up and rolling. But,
this was the long holiday weekend, right? And of course, you know, that means all the politicians aren't up there creating all the havoc they create. So coming into Sunday night and then into Monday morning, you look around, there's really not much news, not like a normal day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it always is. It's usually like the Monday after a holiday weekend, especially. I'm like, oh, man, there's going to be no news. Because sometimes, you know, we'll produce our own material and content, but usually it's on busy news days when there's a lot being reported in multiple different sources. That's when you got a lot to talk about, because people are wanting to call in and talk about something they read or something they saw. But I'm actually amazed at how much news content we actually have to cover this morning, not only from a Montana standpoint, but also from a national standpoint. What's the big story you want to start with this morning?
Well, the big story coming all the way through the holidays is what's going on in Israel. They started their four-day ceasefire, and they're supposed to be delivering 50 hostages, which they have done, and that ends today, actually. Of course, now they want, it's going to be 10 more hostages per day if they want to extend that ceasefire. What happened? What have you been hearing this whole time, Aaron? Is that that's all you've heard from the mainstream media now for a month, is about all the innocent people, all the innocent Palestinians that are there that are not members of Hamas. Well, one of these prisoners that was let go, one of these kidnapped victims released by these terrorists, was interviewed by the Israelis. And he told the Israelis that he had actually escaped captivity over there and was wandering around trying to find his way back to Israel. He was grabbed by all these, in big quotes, innocent civilians and returned to Hamas.
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was a good point, I think Brian Kilmeade made this earlier on Fox and Friends, is that some in the media are making this sound like this is some sort of a trade for a trade here. Well, see, Israel's getting this many people back, and the Palestinians are getting this many people back. No, Israel is getting women and children back, innocent women and children that were taken hostage back. The Palestinians are getting prisoners. They're getting scumbags.
Combatants
yep. back. So this is not a one-for-one trade yeah. here, but of course the fake news media wants to portray it as such. All right, speaking of Francis and Big Fork, she'll kick off the phone lines right after this.
You've had over the years, including what you've told me about not using alcohol and other drugs, they stick with me. And believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks, I'm good. So thank you, Dad, for talking and preparing me for what's ahead.
Thank you for talking.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
That matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson in the house on this Monday, taking your phone calls as well. 406-294-0970. Let's kick things off with one of your phone calls. Francis in Big Fork first up this morning. Francis, great to hear from you.
And good to hear from you, too. And I was listening to you, too, and I agree, And you know, like when they have these prisoners exchange, why are they supposed to Israel give up 3-1? And so Biden must be blackmailing them somehow. You know, won't give them medicine or the Israelis. He won't give them medicine or he won't give them, you know, ammunition that he needs or something that he's trying to pull.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
I don't trust the Biden-Obama regime because, you know, Obama's just one of, I don't know what tribe he's from, but he thinks just like him. And I remember one time I heard him on the radio, or on TV, I can't remember which, that he said, there's nothing more beautiful than a prayer, a Muslim prayer at sunrise. So he must have been praying the Muslim prayers.
Well, we know that he went to a Christian church in Chicago, but remember, that was one of these radicalized, like, you know, GD America. You know, it was basically this racist church in Chicago, this anti-American racist church in Chicago that Barack Hussein Obama went to. And so that's how they say, no, he was a Christian. Look at the racist church he went to in Chicago. Francis, thanks for the phone call. John, you and I were talking a little bit more during the break here. I was looking at some of these stories about the hostages that have been freed. And Francis is exactly right about, you know, the number comparison here. It's just absurd. But apparently over a dozen of the hostages who have been released are foreign nationals. They're not even Jewish people. They're not even Israeli people. A number of these foreign nationals that were freed are from Thailand. They were likely just working as guest workers in the country, filling a job, maybe, working in a restaurant, working in a cafe, working in a home as a maid or, you know, a nanny or something. And they got kidnapped just as well by these Palestinian terrorists.
You look at that prisoner exchange swap. And think about, imagine if you're Bibi Netanyahu. Think about it this way. My jails are full of these scumbags. Now, we're right in the middle of an historic opportunity to sweep up the trash. Okay? Why not put them back into Gaza right in front of my broom? All right. Yeah, here you go. We'll release all of you. Get back over there, okay? Because here comes the broom.
Yeah. Or what's that blood test or something the doctors do where they put like something in your blood so they can track things? You know, like
a PET scan.
Let's release them and then let's track them wherever they go afterwards, and lead us basically to the rat's nest, basically, once we release these people.
Well, you see the videos of a lot of those prisoners, and they are not just violent Hamas terrorists. You can see them. I think a lot of them are mentally ill, too, because they are just in broad daylight attacking Israeli soldiers, almost like kamikaze suicide missions. You start to think that they're mentally ill.
You know, I read this really interesting piece. I forget how this one. Oh, this one actually goes back to August of 2014, but it's still worth looking at here. An insider's guide to the most important story on earth, a former AP correspondent explains how and why reporters get Israel so wrong. And let's see. Is there anything left to say about Israel in Gaza? Newspapers this summer have been full of little else. This was from back in 2014, but this story, I read it today like it was today's story. So let's go back to, because we think about how many news stories are there, how much news coverage is there on this war in Israel right now, in Israel and Hamas, this war in the Gaza Strip. It's blanket coverage, right? And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are saying, God, is there nothing else going on in the world? Is there nothing else going on in America? This, again, let's take 2013. In all of 2013, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict claimed 42 lives, which was roughly the monthly homicide rate in the city of Chicago at the time. Jerusalem, internationally renowned as a city of conflict, had slightly fewer violent deaths per capita the year before than Portland, Oregon, which at the time was one of America's safer cities. Now, we know that's no longer the case 10 years later, right? But in contrast, in 3 years, the Syrian conflict claimed an estimated 190,000 lives, or about 70,000 more than the number of people who ever died in the Arab-Israeli conflict since it began a century ago. News organizations gave that conflict more coverage than the 1,600 women murdered in Pakistan the year before. After being raped and 193 of them burned alive, of course, the ongoing erasure of Tibet by the Chinese Communist Party, the carnage in Congo, more than 5 million dead as of 2012, the Central African Republic, the drug wars in Mexico, all of these global conflicts that don't get any attention from the fake news media.
I don't understand. Ask yourself this question. Why does the left just instinctively knee-jerk despise Israel? And they embrace and enable all of the terrorist nations and scumbags from that whole region, and they always have. Why is that? Ask yourself that question.
Yeah, good question, and I think we all know several of the answers there, that's for sure. 406-294-0970, the number for you. I know John's got some more topics he wants to cover. Conor McGregor, you know, the UFC fighter Conor McGregor. I think you tweeted about this, John. Apparently, they got a real left-wing Irish prime minister, and he tore into the guy. We'll tell you why. It ties in with this story.
Securing America.
North Korea says its newly launched military spy satellite's been able to get photo images of key South Korean and U.S. bases. State media is reporting Kim Jong-un has seen satellite photos taken of Seoul, as well as U.S. military bases like Camp Humphreys in South Korea, Pearl Harbor, and Hickam Air Base in Hawaii. Now, the North may have its spy satellite, but the U.S. has the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, the USS Carl Vinson, in the Indo-Pacific region. Rear Admiral Carlos Sardiello got to show off the carrier to South Korean leaders this past week.
Our continued bilateral exercise with the Republic of Korea promotes democracy, deters aggression, and provides for security in the region.
He also assured his South Korean counterparts,
the U.S. ROK Alliance remains at a high level to provide readiness, to provide protection.
Jill Nato, Fox News.
Yeah, I know, Sean is the host, but the real star is Linda, the producer. Catch them both on The Sean Hannity Show, weekday afternoons 1 to 4 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it's fun. I always like to compare lists. Okay, hey, what do you want to talk about today, John? Here's what I was thinking about talking about. And, of course, we never get to it all because the hour just flies by here. But this was one story that I wanted to chat with. Actually, I think you sent out a tweet about this. TheDailyCaller.com has this story. UFC fighter Conor McGregor tore into the Prime Minister of Ireland over his reaction to the Sunday release of an Irish-Israeli hostage taken captive by Hamas. This Irish prime minister, who apparently has the rainbow flag, pride displays all over his social media profiles, he said this. He said, "This is a day of enormous joy and relief for Emily Hand and her family. An innocent child who was lost has now been found and returned, and we breathe a massive sigh of relief." Yeah, young Emily was just lost, and now she's been... She just walked in the park, walked away from mom and dad. Now she's been found again.
Just wandering in the woods. And we found her. We had the dogs, and we had a search team, and we finally found her. Praise God. What I was saying to you in the break is, I don't understand. This goes on across the world, obviously in Ireland, and all throughout the United States. These left-wing voters vote in these nutbags like this Ireland prime minister, and then are shocked and amazed when they do left-wing nutbag crap. I mean, what did you think this guy was going to do?
They had a different way of phrasing it during the break, but I think you get what he was saying here. But yeah, McGregor basically called this Irish prime minister a disgrace for using these words. He said, quote, she was abducted by an evil terrorist organization. What is with you and your government and your paid for media affiliates constantly downplaying or attempting to repress horrific acts that happen to children? You are a disgrace. The day after a stabbing of children in Ireland, not one paper had it on their front cover. We will not forget. Yeah, apparently he also had called out. So apparently a bunch of Irish children were stabbed by some, was it a radical Islamic nut job?
Algerian, I think.
Yeah, and so he called that disgraceful. Well, now, of course, it should come as no surprise to any of our listeners. Kaya Raychick, is that how you pronounce her name? She is the Libs of TikTok founder. She shared this story, and it's now in multiple other news sources as well. UFC champion Conor McGregor is reportedly being investigated for online hate speech after he expressed anger over the stabbing of five people, including three children, and blasted Ireland for their mass migration policies. She says Ireland is falling. But this is again, part of another pattern that we see of the American left as well. They will get more mad at you for the way you react to these Islamic terrorists or BLM rioters or pick your group that commits an offensive act. They will get more mad at you for the way you react to that and the words that you say about those terrorists than they will about the terrorists that actually commit the acts in the first place.
What we've been saying for years now on our podcast is that the left has major, major agenda items, and you dang well better be paying attention to what they are. They went from COVID, now COVID switched to Ukraine. So we'll say COVID / Ukraine. Then you have climate change. And the biggie, number three of the pillars, is shutting you up. They can't have this anymore, Aaron. They cannot have social media and people being able to spread the word of what they're doing or talk back to them. They have to silence you.
Exactly. And that's why they want to silence talk radio. That's why your support, our listeners out there, and you know, sponsors on these local radio stations, why you're so important, because they want to silence us. They want to silence America. They want to silence talk radio, and so that's why your support matters. And also, that's why I would encourage people, too. That's another good reason. If you're in the Kalispell area, get the KJJR app on your phone. If you're in Bozeman, get the KNMS app on your phone. You know, get the Montana Talks app on your phone, et cetera, for example. And because here's the deal. Facebook does not want you to see the content that we talk about. They will suppress conservative viewpoints. The rest of the news will not. Google will suppress all of these. Most of these online outlets will suppress conservative news and viewpoints. And so that's why if you got to download those apps so that you get it direct, because Facebook isn't going to just magically be putting it in front of you like they do some of this other garbage.
Now, I have my problems with how Elon Musk is running Twitter, but I have to say this about him. Now, since he took over Twitter, you can say what you want on topics, okay? You can talk about COVID. You can talk about climate change. You can call all of that stuff out on its pure lies and say it without getting suspended. See, before, pre-Elon, even talking about that stuff at all, purely politely and courteously, you would be suspended just for bringing it up.
It is interesting, too. What I've noticed with Twitter now is I'm always the type, okay, I might see something interesting on Twitter, a video, or hey, check out what happened in Ireland and blah blah blah, and then I'm like, okay, unless it's from a source that I know, I'm like, okay, interesting, but let me go double check that. What I've noticed more is every time I have one of those interesting, let me double check that moments on Twitter of late, almost always the story is now backed up. It did happen. I didn't seem to. It was a lot more problematic in the previous Elon Musk Twitter when it was the left wing government social media disinformation board.
Well, he's got the revenue sharing feature out there now, which I just signed up for here about 10 days ago. And dude, bada bing, I got $400. I got $400
really?
Bucks in 10 days.
As in part of, 10 days?
As part of revenue
wow.
sharing, yeah.
Well, somebody's
yeah.
buying the cigars next time.
Bada bing. You know what I'm saying?
Pappy Van Winkle, here we come, buddy. Here
more
we come.
Money, yeah, more yeah. money. They got to get me some of that Elon gumbo cheese.
There you go. 406-294-0970. Let's go to John in Kalispell listening to KJJR. What's going on, John?
Hey, how's it Well, Aaron, I just wanted to, you guys are talking about the national socialists and the world socialists and all this stuff, but we have it right here in Montana.
Yeah.
When I was in the legislature going on some of my bills for the Landlord Association, we had the Montana's Socialist Democrat Party come up and oppose property rights in regards to tenant landlord law. And now you have down in Bozeman that's going to be a meeting is going to take place tomorrow with the Gallatin County Commissioners, and the Gallatin County Democrat Socialists of America Party has requested to become a housing authority in Gallatin County.
And they'll probably get it with those liberal county commissioners and that new liberal mayor there, huh?
Well, that's exactly right, and it doesn't have to do anything with the mayor, but the thing is it does go before the three Democrat county commissioners, and this is how they're infiltrating our nation, not just at the national level, but at the local level as well. They're being extremely involved. Individuals that are hardworking Montanans that believe in property rights and freedom, they really don't have the capacity or the ability to go out and participate in these events, or do they have the money to create things like this? And we leave it literally up to these local individual, in my opinion, communist leaders that are going to be voting on this stuff, and they have their cronies participate in becoming government agents. And now we will lose if these people do not get voted down in their plan. You start to lose all of the rights in which you've established or have been established in this nation since the beginning. And they will incrementally, just like the frog in the hot pot, you can only boil it 1 degree at a time until all of a sudden it's done.
That's right.
And we need to.
And they'll say, oh, well, we did this in Gallatin County, and then you'll get some liberal city council members in Billings say, well, Bozeman did this, so why don't we do that? And then Livingston will say, oh, well, why don't we do this? No, you're exactly right about the incremental approach that the left uses. John, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John Jackson in studio with us. Yeah, your reactions.
If anyone out there who was locked down during COVID, who was told you had to take a vax or lose your job, and now in the last 3 years is paying almost, you know, double for a gallon of gas, double for meat, chicken, eggs, fish, everything you buy is now double. If all of that has happened to you in the last 3 years and you're still voting for Democrats, I can't help you. I really just have nothing to say to you.
Well, and I think this shows, too, that the younger generations of Democrats are far, far left. I mean, nowhere near their grandparents' generation of old-school Democrats. But we saw that Democrat Party die, long ago. That's for sure. They're no longer the party of the working class. They're the party of the radicalized class. That's for sure. A point John just made, too. I don't know if you guys saw it. On Meet the Press with Kristen Welker, she's the new host of that program, sounded like Kristen Welker basically agreed with a liberal Washington Post columnist who had this to say about how the term Bidenomics is not popular. I wonder why.
Based on my conversations, a lot of Democrats are saying his messaging needs to shift away from Bidenomics to really understanding Americans who say we're not feeling this yet.
Yeah, Bidenomics has really been become a negative word, especially among Democrats, because it's not working. I was texting with some Democratic members of Congress last night, just trying to get a read over the holiday weekend, what they're hearing at home and what people are saying. And these members said that it is just not looking good for President Biden.
Yeah, it's just not working good. It's just a negative word, John.
Well, see, they think, you remember that old Eddie Murphy bit where he was talking about the guy who was sleeping with another woman and his wife walks in and the guy gets up out of bed and goes, wasn't me. You know, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Right? These people in media like Kristen Welker and these Democrats think that they can convince you that you're not paying double for everything. It's just our messaging.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden's just off somewhere else doing another Eddie Murphy skit. I got some ice cream. I got my ice cream.
And you ain't got none
because you can't afford it because Bidenomics.
He's asleep on the beach, man. He's like, hey, Grandpa Simpson.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Luckily, because John Jackson is here, our producer Travis already has his finger hovering over the red button in case a bad word is said. I think I queued up this. I think he should be safe, though, because I queued up this Eddie Murphy, I got some ice cream clip. So first off, before the break, Gary and Billings, I will get to your phone call here in a second, but I just knew when I was playing the Bidenomics soundbite there from the Washington Post and Meet the Press, I could tell by John's laugh he had something that we needed to get on the radio right then and there. So I'm glad we did. But then we're quoting Eddie Murphy all of a sudden. So anyway, so of course I had to pull up that, you know, we were talking about Bidenomics and how it's become this negative word and it's just not working, according to the liberals at the Washington Post and at Meet the Press. And, you know, we were joking about how, you know, meanwhile, Joe Biden's just sitting back. I got some ice cream. Here you go. And first off, John, isn't this crazy? This is, we were looking this up during the break. This was Eddie Murphy's skit on his stand-up routine. Delirious was the show. 1983 was when he performed this.
40 years ago.
Crazy. Yeah. I don't know if I doubt I watched it live because I was only three at the time. But anyway, I definitely have watched it, you know, via YouTube, et cetera, since. Here you go. Here's part of the Eddie Murphy I Have Some Ice Cream sketch.
No, it'd be one kid on the side didn't get no ice cream, and kids don't care. They go,
you don't have no ice cream. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. You didn't get none. Cause you are on the welfare. You can't afford it. You can't afford it.
Oh, man, and he's sitting there dancing around in that, like, what is it, an orange leather jumpsuit, Michael Jackson-looking jumpsuit or whatever. But, hey, now nobody can afford it, thanks to Joe Biden. So joke's on all of us.
What a be continuous. You know, they went from, you know, Saturday Night Live went from Belushi, Aykroyd, Murray, and then Chevy Chase, and those guys went out. In came these guys like Eddie Murphy, and they're for about 10, 15 years. I mean, truly the greatest comedians anywhere in the world, who went from SNL right into movies and absolute stardom because they were so good.
Yeah, no, that's right. Let's see. Gary and Billings say, thanks for waiting around. What's going on, Gary?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron and John. You guys should go on and perform your own comedian act because you tell the truth. So it's really enjoyable, but anyway.
It would be the liberals ain't laughing tour is what it would be.
Yeah. Anyway, last Sunday, they had this big write-up about John Tester, how much he's done, and it's scary because he's reaching people that you guys don't reach, but these older people watching TV, the TVs, the papers, and he is just flooding this airway with all he's done. When I've seen the Fly Blue, and I went to work right away. So why isn't it today Republicans going after him for lying? They want to kick George Soros out of there. So how come the Republicans don't do that?
Yeah, well, I bet if Don Kay was with us right now, he'd say money. You know, to use another movie quote, Jerry Maguire, show me the money. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to have money in a campaign account to get those ads on the airwaves. John Tester, what has he been doing? He's been hosting fundraisers in California. He got over $1 million just from California alone. Silicon Valley Bank, remember when that crash happened? Where was John Tester at the same time Joe Biden was floating a bailout for Silicon Valley, raising money from the folks in Silicon Valley? So he is crookedly using his perch in the United States Senate to shake down all these folks for cash so he can get on the airwaves and lie to you. What can we do to further get our message out? John, you and I should like start a super PAC, and maybe we could just go raise $100 million and we just get our own TV commercials out there. Let me tell you about John Tester. It'd be like a fireside chat, just you and I.
You can't escape this stuff. I'm watching the streaming services the other day. It was Netflix, or I think it was Hulu. It's one of those that has ads. you know, while you're watching the show. And here, you think you can escape into a streaming service, and up comes the ad. Here is John Tester, you know, scooching underneath his tractor, you know, doing the old prospector pandering, you know, going down the dirt road in his pickup truck with the gun rack. He's like, oh my God, I've got to stick my finger down my throat.
The guy is worth millions, and he's made a lot of money while being a United States Senator somehow, but yet pretends to be just a poor old farmer. I mean, it's so phony. And this China spy balloon, he didn't do squat about the China spy balloon. He downplayed the whole thing. One of our listeners, Tim in Billings, I thought he nailed it. He was talking about all these ads that are out there promoting Tester as well. He called them the beyond meat of moderates. Fake meat, fake moderate, fake all around. He said this: they must be terrified of Tim Sheehy. And I think he nailed it. I think John Tester is terrified of Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And frankly, Tim Sheehy is the only one fighting back against John Tester right now in a big way, with TV ads and radio ads of his own and other super PACs that are now coming into Montana as well. Because at the end of the day, if you aren't either investing in your own campaign like Donald J. Trump has done, or getting others to help back your – if you don't have the resources to combat what is going to be the biggest U.S. Senate race in the country, then you ain't in the fight, if you ask me. And the fight has already started. It doesn't start in January, doesn't start in March, doesn't start in June after the primary. The fight started 6 months ago, if you ask me.
It's scary to understand the voting public out there. The people, all of them that do vote are allowed to vote, that know absolutely nothing. They know absolutely nothing for what John Tester's done for the last 6 years. All they know is some campaign commercial, some headline they saw somewhere. Maybe they ran into him somewhere. That's all they know, and that's all they'll vote on. And that's why these things work. That's why they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars. It's to convince and cajole all the smooth-brained idiots out there, unfortunately.
Well, I think about, let's localize this a little bit further. Okay, so if you're somebody in the Flathead Valley and you saw how dangerously low Flathead Lake got this summer, when they could have better managed the water resource, right? Or they could have done something to help out. And yet the Biden administration did nothing. They did nothing to help fill the lake. Now, Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke has a bill to fill the lake, to ensure that Flathead Lake remains full so that they don't spill too much earlier in the year and whatever. And anyway, it's interesting. I saw a Daily Interlake story. The headline was something to the effect of, mixed reactions on Fill the Lake Bill. Well, if you look and you read where the mixed reactions are coming, normally back in my day, and that's where I feel like the old guy, is if there was something that was pro-Montana, Democrats and Republicans would back it. And they would fight over who got the credit for getting the job done on it. And yet what I am seeing now is that no longer happens anymore. If you were in a coal state, if you were a Democrat or a Republican, you stood up for coal. That doesn't happen anymore. If you were a Democrat or a Republican, you stood up for Flathead Lake. That is not happening anymore. John Tester didn't lift a finger. He wrote a stupid letter but never did anything to actually help fill the lake. And now you look at the people that are mixed reactions to the Fill the Lake bill are liberals and environmental wackos and Democrats that aren't standing up for Flathead Lake.
Well, look at that. You know, and the answer to why is that? The answer to that is really, really depressing. And that answer is because they are certain, they are convinced, John Tester is convinced that you're stupid.
Okay. Yeah.
Flat out, because he thinks, and all Democrats think, you're not paying attention. And if you are, all you see is one of their news outlets that tells you everything is fine and everything they're doing is great.
Yeah. And John Tester, he is deliberately sitting back hoping that the Republicans spend the next six, nine months fighting each other in a primary. And then he can just sit back and raise all this money. And then whoever emerges from the primary, he's hoping that they don't have hardly a dime to be able to combat, millions and millions of dollars, potentially $500 million of disinformation coming from these radical left-wing groups. And so that's why I just say, look, if you're not in the fight right now, if you weren't in the fight 3 months ago for this Senate race, you're not in the fight. Anyway, that's my take. I got a funny story I want to run by here. Well, at least I think it's kind of funny. So Ichiro Suzuki, did he play for Seattle? Travis would probably know this. Or we've got some Mariners fans probably in the Flathead that could fill me. I think he played for Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. But Ichiro Suzuki was a very popular Major League Baseball player from Japan. So he's doing a really cool thing. He's trying to encourage more young ladies to get into the game of baseball, right? Softball is real popular here in America already. And so anyway, so Ichiro Suzuki was the pitcher in a baseball game against a whole bunch of high school girls.
I'm just picturing that.
He already knows how the story plays out. Wait till you hear the end. Anyway, he didn't hold back. Let's just say that.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
By the way, a new congressional study, as I said, estimating the cost of all illegal immigrants, about 8 million now under Joe Biden, include gotaways. And we have no idea that the thousands and thousands from the Middle East, the tens of thousands from China and Russia. Yeah, well, guess what? Since Joe Biden became president, we're now paying for all of his illegal immigrants $451 billion a year. That's every year's annual total. In other words, you, the American taxpayer, will be shelling out an additional $451 billion next year.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with things I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of the disease called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, straight lines seem wavy, like when looking at a doorframe. For others, blurry or missing spots can make it hard to read or see loved ones' faces. Many have trouble seeing in low light, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you've been diagnosed with AMD and notice vision changes, don't wait. Talk to your eye doctor about GA today. Learn more at gawon'twait.com. That's gawon'twait.com.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I guessed it right, John. I guessed a couple of things right today. Usually, if I get my, I'll usually get my Hollywood references all wrong, but I was right on the Eddie Murphy guess with the "I Got Some Ice Cream" skit, and I was correct. Ichiro Suzuki did play for the Seattle Mariners. He also had some time with the Miami Marlins. Looks like a couple years there, and then a little bit of time with the New York Yankees as well. But he was mostly known for his time at the Seattle Mariners. But anyway, according to CNN. Former Major League Baseball and Japanese national team legend, Ichiro Suzuki, he started doing this event to help encourage more women in Japan to take up the sport of baseball. This is from the DailyCaller.com. While some would argue that the surefire future MLB Hall of Famer should have gone easy on the girls, his competitive spirit compelled him to pitch all nine innings of the game en route to a 116-pitch, five-hit performance in which he struck out nine batters. So the bottom line is this. The former Major League Baseball pitcher pitched a complete game shutout against a high school girls team. There you go.
Can you picture him throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball against girls? I mean, he didn't even decide to take it easy on them at all. Just gave him the heat.
No, he just threw it. He said, nope, I want you to play baseball, but you play right. And But apparently, somebody got five hits off him, though. So, that's pretty impressive.
That is impressive, yeah.
But what I find just really funny and fascinating about this whole story is, first off, it's another reminder of biological differences, and why it's important that we have women's sports and girls' sports and opportunities like that, and why, yes, biology matters, and you can identify as a woman or you can identify as a man if that's how you do your thing, but at the end of the day, we shouldn't be taking away opportunities from women and girls' sports, and that's what they're doing at this radical transgender push. But the other thing that's funny about it is, okay, so Ichiro Suzuki pitches a complete, a shutout against this high school girls' team. Now, you'd think, well, yeah, but he's an adult and these are high school kids. Oh, but wait. Remember when Megan Rapinoe and the U.S. women's national soccer team played a group of 15-year-old boys in, Dallas, Texas?
Yeah.
The 15-year-old boys destroyed the U.S. women's soccer team. So, yes, biology matters.
Wait, I believe those were sophomores in high school that they played, and they said they would not let the women's team play above that, because if they even played juniors or senior boys in high school, they couldn't even compete with them. They'd be destroyed.
So they had to play the 15-year-olds just so the women's soccer team had a chance.
So it would be kind of even. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. But anyway, when I told you about this story during the break, you said, oh, that reminds me of a Seinfeld episode. What was the Seinfeld episode that reminds you of?
Well, I'm picturing Ichiro like Kramer in his karate class, beating up on little kids. And he's coming home to Jerry saying, oh, yeah, Jerry, I'm doing so good in my karate class. And Jerry says, you're beating up on 12-year-olds.
Here he is. He's like 7 feet tall. This kid's like 3'8".
Yes, Sensei. Fight
this! He's holding the kid upside down, dragging another kid across the floor.
Jerry said, you don't need karate, Kramer. You can just pick him up and wring his neck.
And the kids, the little, 3'8" kid's got his glasses and his mop haircut with the bowl haircut.
But you remember at the end, they got Kramer back because they all got him in the alley with a mob and they beat him up. So.
Karma, Kramer. Karma. All right. Hey, we got a big 9 o'clock hour. John, you going to stick around? I've got a couple of big guests that we got to sneak on in the 9 o'clock hour, but there'll be some time in between, and we'll throw the Joker back on a time or two.